This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Power Talk with Aldrin Sampier. Weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon on Power 98.7.
86 minutes after 10 o'clock, you're still listening to Power Talk with me, Aldrin Sampier. So we will be in conversation in the next few minutes with John Jeffrey, that is the Deputy Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development. And this is in line with the new directives that have been issued by the Minister of the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development, as well as Correctional Services, that is Minister Ronald Lamola, yesterday, and how it affects courts and the operations of courts. So any questions that you have in relation to those, including what happens with urgent matters, what happens with criminal matters, and also in the directives, it speaks about urgent matters. What defines an urgent matter and what defines a non-urgent matter? The ministry also speaks about what should happen with cases that are not urgent. Trials, for instance, at this moment when you are on trial and you are at home, you are out on bail, what should happen between this time? So 0861-987-000. You can also tweet at Aldrin Sampier, hashtag PowerTalk, and also tweet at PowerFM987. Good morning, Deputy Minister, and welcome to PowerTalk.
Good morning, Aldrin, and thanks for having me.
Minister, let's start with these directives that have been issued. First of all, just an overall view, what necessitates this new, more stricter, some would say, compared to the previous directives that have been issued?
I don't know if more stricter. I think they've just made things clearer in some aspects. But obviously the issue that we're concerned about is to ensure that people, the social distancing, people are not coming into contact with each other, where they can spread COVID-19. So the aim of these directions is to try and limit what happens in the courts to urgent matters that can't wait until after the lockdown.
Sure. So let's go through some of these measures that have been put in place, and this is also including non-urgent matters.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, there's obviously this criminal, the directions go through all of it. Let me just say that an urgent matter is a, just in terms of the definition, is a urgent or essential court application and hearing, including a bail application in the case of the first appearance of an accused person, or a matter which is, if not enrolled during the state of disaster, will lead to a substantial injustice. So basically, obviously, if you get arrested, you have the right to apply for bail. So that is something that can be heard in this period.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's things that will cause a substantial injustice.
Mm.
So basically, most of the criminal matters, apart from the first appearances, are being remanded.
Yeah.
Civil matters, it's again, that would be the test. Will there be an injustice if this matter is not heard? I mean, for example, with criminal matters, we can't really proceed with trials. We're not going to find the witnesses, probably, because they're meant to be on lockdown. Civil matters, hello, are you there?
Yes, we're here, Minister.
Yeah, sorry. Civil matters, similarly. And then there's provision for protection orders, which is important with people being at home, or in this period, that specification that applications for interim domestic violence protection orders, mm-hmm. and interim protection orders against harassment, those are urgent, but not the finalization of those orders. It's a two-part process in getting an order. You apply to court for this order, which the magistrate will usually grant on the basis of an affidavit.
Sure.
And then it's set down for another date, a return date, when the other party can come and argue why the order shouldn't be made final. What we're feeling is that let everybody stick with the interim orders. The finalization of the order can wait until after this lockdown.
Yeah. Okay. So we're in conversation with the Deputy Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development, that is John Jeffrey. Any questions that you have in with regards to how courts will be operating during this particular period, you can call us on 0861-987-000. You can also tweet at Aldrin St. Pierre, hashtag PowerTalk, and also tweet at PowerFM987. Deputy Minister, one of the other issues that have been raised before is issues in relation to family courts, and how the family courts will be operating during this period, and which matters will be heard.
Look, again, from the directions, it's orders of court. The following family law services will be dealt with: orders of court falling due or required to be made during this period of the lockdown in the following matters: foster care, adoption, removal of children in need of care and protection, placement of children in child and youth care centres, and international child abduction matters. So it's basically, again, trying to identify matters that are urgent, that will be an injustice if it's not dealt with now. So obviously the issue of the placement of children that are in need of care, they need to be maybe taken out of the home now and put in a facility because they're not being properly looked after. That's not something that can wait.
Mm-hmm. And what would the procedure be there, considering that we also have this issue around the lockdown, and also restrictions around the movement of people?
Well, the idea is obviously to get people to stick to the lockdown as much as possible. One of the more contentious issues was sometimes, and this was a change from the original directions, the first set of directions and the current set, was that a couple who have split up may have a parenting agreement for the child to move between from the one parent to the other parent. Originally, we felt that those should still be honoured. Social development were not happy with that and felt it was better for the child to stay put. And so that section has been now removed from these directions. If you have a parenting agreement, the child should rather stick with a parent it's with for now, for the period of the lockdown, to stop being exposed to COVID-19.
Yeah. I hear you saying rather. So what then happens in terms of if the other parent insists that the child should be allowed to come and visit them as per the court order?
Well, then they would need to go to court and ask the court to rule that. I'm aware of at least one case where a parent tried that and the court said it was actually in the best interest of the child for the child to stay put.
Okay, so let's go to Solly in the East Rand. Good morning, Solly.
Aldrin and the Deputy Minister, I didn't get his name. Ne?
That is John Jeffrey.
Okay, yeah. I just wanted to ask the Minister, and I wanted him to answer like he's answering to the small child. When you go to SARS, ne, and they want to communicate something to you, they are so efficient. They either send the SMS or other means of communication. Ne? But the courts are so primitive in terms of communicating to those that are supposed to appear in court. On Monday, I was supposed to appear as the witness. I go there at the gate, they turn me back. So you waste money, you waste time and other resources. Instead of the court just sending the SMSs to everybody to say that due to this COVID-19 lockdown, you may not appear today and then we'll communicate later. People who are poor, the government is every day saying is working on alleviating poverty, but people, they spend money unnecessary going to court only to be sent back and told that they will be told when to come back. Why, Minister, are you making the court, are you not making the court to communicate at least via the SMSs?
Okay. Deputy Minister?
No, point taken. We are unfortunately some distance behind SARS in using SMSs, emails and that kind of technology. So yes, that point is valid. I apologize that he came to court and was told simply to go. That is an area we've got to improve on. It is something we are trying to publicize because there have been problems particularly on Monday in many courts where there were crowds of people outside the court and not aware that they didn't need to come to court, that mm-hmm. cases were not going ahead, that cases were being remanded actually in absentia, even the accused didn't need to be there. Mm. So I think it is working now. I've noticed that the numbers outside the courts today have been a lot less.
Okay. So how do we then, in the meantime, improve that communication?
Well, we are trying to publicize the issue of there was a statement issued after these directions. I think we need to do more work with particularly community radio stations and getting the message out there. But in the longer term, yes, we need to move on to the type of mechanisms as the caller spoke about, of having SMSs to keep in contact with witnesses.
Okay.
I would agree with that.
Sure. Willie, good morning.
Good morning, sir, and I extend my greetings to the Deputy Minister of Justice there. Mm. Morning to you, Deputy Minister, as well.
Morning.
Thank you very much for coming on air. My telephone number you can find there in the studio. My name is Willie, and I'm phoning from Straightview. Minister, this coronavirus has been detrimental in many ways. As much as that, officials have also used it and are abusing it because of reasons in the positions that they are sitting in. What I'm trying to say here, Deputy Minister of Justice, what would happen in the event where, which has actually happened, in the event where inmates in prisons, they are being assaulted by the prison officials. Here I'm talking specifically of Murder B, where it has happened, Minister, and one inmate was unceremoniously transferred because he had raised up and objected to one of the inmates being beaten by a specific official by the name of Mbata. Mm. And he was transferred to CIMAX because of objecting to that, after he was himself assaulted. But of course, nobody can admit to that, and they know very well that we, as their parents and relatives and whatever, we cannot visit them. Mm. Therefore, they will always be sitting on the other side of the fence and saying nothing has happened. I actually phoned through to their minister, just in one second. I actually phoned through to CIMAX to find out how is my son's condition. The answer was no different than one of Steve Biko when he was loaded from Port Elizabeth, sent to Pretoria. In 72 hours, he was dead. We don't know whether our kids will still be living.
But just a quick one. This particular incident, when did it happen?
It happened on the 27th, on Friday, last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The head of that Murder B, he's aware of the situation, and instead they somersault and change the issue. And fortunately, I got that because of some of the officials that are working for the department. They are not all as rotten as the rest of the others who would be assaulting people. There is no part in the constitution of DCS that says they have the jurisdiction and the right to assault prisoners, irrespective of what has happened.
Okay. Willie, when was the last time that you spoke to your son?
Before the so-called closure of hospitals, of prisons.
Oh, so this was, you went to go see him?
Yes, I've been visiting him periodically.
Okay. Deputy Minister, I'm not sure whether you have a response now.
Obviously, Minister wouldn't. I understand what
sure.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yes, and please understand, Minister, my reason for saying this is because it reminds me of past days where we had gone through. When they killed Steve Biko in the DCS and the police, they had exactly the correct answers to say everything is in order. In the meantime, he was half dead, and in 72 hours, the rest was history.
So
we are going through the same thing again.
Okay. Let me just give the Deputy Minister an opportunity to respond to you. Yeah?
Yeah. Look, let me... Willie had said that he'd left his number or given his number.
Yes, so my number is there.
Given that.
I'm not secret about this.
Yeah.
And that order who runs that murder be present. He's aware of what I said, and I told him, yeah, until I go down to the grave, I'm 75 years old, I will speak about my son. Even if they can kill him, I will never kill me.
Sure. Look, let me take the number and speak to you off air.
Sure.
To try and find out what is happening with your son. Maybe just to make the following points. Mm. I mean, the inspecting judge, judicial inspectorate of prisons is still continuing. I'm not entirely sure exactly what they're doing, but they are still functioning during this period. The other aspect is, look, the shutdown of visits was unfortunate. But the prison, the inmate population is very vulnerable. I mean, if corona gets in there, it's going to be very problematic,
sure,
because people are in cramped spaces. Mm. So that was the reason for that. But I understand Billy's concerns, and we'll speak to him afterwards to try and find out what is happening with his son.
What are the measures now that are in place, Deputy Minister, when somebody is arrested, let's say today, for instance? What happens? Where are they held? Are they held in a single cell? Are they screened?
Look, I'm not, unfortunately, too sure of those details. They would basically be held in police cells if they're arrested. I'm not sure. I would assume that those cells are being cleaned on a regular basis and the social distancing. But I guess it also depends on the numbers of people arrested.
Yeah.
The idea is, though, not to to have people going in. I mean, the usual process is that somebody will go to a correctional facility after their first appearance in court. So before the first appearance, police cells, afterwards, to a correctional facility. And the idea is to not have many people coming or being sent to those facilities unless it's particularly serious.
Mm-hmm.
So the magistrates have worked out admission of guilt fines, because a lot of, particularly for cases where you've allegedly broken the disaster management regulations, they've set out admission of guilt fines that people can pay. Petty crimes, it's in the directions that people are meant to be released on a warning.
Mm.
There are attempts to limit or try and reduce people spending time in custody, and definitely trying to limit the number of people going to correctional facilities.
There's also been a call, Deputy Minister, that those people who have been convicted for minor crimes, that they too should be released during this period, just to allow some space within the prisons and to free up space in the prisons. Is this something that the department is looking into?
Yeah, look, remember you're speaking to the Deputy Minister of Justice and not the one for correctional services. There was this. I mean, the facilities did get freed up a bit with the President's remission that was announced at the end of last year. So that did free up amounts or some spaces. I'm not aware of anything being done now. I know there's an issue relating to people who got bail but couldn't pay the bail.
Mm.
And that magistrates and officials are re-looking at those cases to see whether the person can't be released on a lesser amount or an amount that they can pay or on their own recognizance. But this would be where they haven't been found guilty yet, but they haven't been able to pay their bail.
Okay. Silo, good morning.
Oh, hi. How are you doing out there? And Deputy Minister there.
Mm.
Hi, Silo.
Yes, I wanted to ask, because I heard that the Deputy Minister saying that there are going to be some cases that are going to be heard and others are not going to be heard during the lockdown. So I wanted to ask specifically about maintenance cases, because I have a friend of mine who has been served with court papers to appear for a maintenance case on the 8th of April. And there hasn't been any communication whether the case is still going on because of the lockdown or what. So I just wanted to know if those kind of cases are still going to be heard or communication is going to be sent to say maybe the next date will be posted there.
Yeah, that CELO is it's only, I mean, in terms of the directions, it's only first-time applications for maintenance. and applications regarding the enforcement of maintenance orders. In other words, where there's an order already been granted, but the person is not sticking to it. I would say that the person must contact the court either by phone or probably even by email and find out what is happening. But I assume the matter would not be going ahead.
Okay. Silo, you covered? Okay, then. Thanks a lot. Tiamo, good morning.
Adrian, morning. Morning, Deputy Minister.
Good morning.
I reside in Johannesburg. I've got a maintenance matter in Cape Town. It's in the criminal court. An order was granted in 2011. Now we're at the criminal court. No flights to Cape Town. That's been suspended. I'm not allowed to drive from Johannesburg to Cape Town because of the measures that the president has put in place. What is my position here? What do I need to do, Deputy Minister?
I imagine the matter will be postponed. I mean, it's a criminal matter, so no longer a family court matter. And that you'd need to, I don't know if you've got a lawyer, but if so, the lawyer should contact the prosecutor to find out when the case will be remanded to.
Okay. You covered, Tiamo?
That will help. Thanks, Deputy.
I have to say this without getting into the merits of whether you're right or wrong. I hope you are paying your maintenance though now.
I am. It's just a matter of technicality, the amount that she wants, what I want. So that's where
okay.
we are.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Cool. Okay, thanks a lot for that. John, good morning.
Good morning. Minister, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you, John?
Good. My question is, there has been a case. I just want to ask this question. A case has been investigated. It's a murder case. The investigation is by and large complete. An arrest was about to happen. Are those arrests going to happen, or are the criminals going to be given leeway in the name of COVID-19 so that they can mess up with the case further?
No, that arrest should still happen. These measures should not stop arrests, particularly in serious cases. It's not that everything is on hold. It's the urgent matters. And remember, the test that I spoke about was if there'll be injustice. And I would imagine that not arresting somebody who's suspected of committing a serious crime would be an injustice, a substantial injustice.
Okay, John.
Okay, thank you very much, Minister.
Thanks a lot for that. And I think, Minister, Deputy Minister, just to re-emphasize again, when it comes to the issue around bail application, how that will work?
Yeah, well, basically, the accused can apply for bail, legally, which does a lot of the representation in criminal matters. They are still continuing. The provision there is that the provision of legal aid will be limited to urgent and essential matters during the period of lockdown. And obviously one of those is a bail application. So those should proceed.
Does this mean that the rules are still in place, also the law, around how soon an arrested person should appear in court?
Sorry, you're breaking up a bit.
So I'm asking that whether the law is still in place in terms of how soon. I think it's for 48 hours after the arrest, if I'm not mistaken.
That's the maximum that the person can be held.
Sure, sure. So does that still apply?
That would still apply. I would hope that... So technically, if you get arrested today, you could actually... what's today? Thursday. You could even be brought to court on Monday. I hope that anyone arrested today would, though, appear tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. At the latest.
Okay, we're going to go to Power News headlines. When we come back, we'll be taking more of your calls on 0861-987-000. Your tweets at Aldrin St. Pierre, hashtag PowerTalk, and you can also tweet at PowerFM987. We're in conversation with the Deputy Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development, John Jeffrey.
You're listening to Power Talk with Aldrin St. Pierre.
And we are in conversation with the Deputy Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development, John Jeffrey. So any questions that you have in relation to how the courts will be operating during this period, including the directives that have been issued by the Minister of Justice, Constitutional Development and Correctional Services, Ronald Lamola, which have come into effect. So you can call us on 061-987-000. You can also tweet at Aldrin St. Pierre, hashtag Power Talk, and also tweet at PowerFM987. Let's go to Mandla. Good morning.
Morning, Adrian. And Mr. John Jeffries, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Mandla, how are you?
I just want to tweak your mind a bit about something which is happening, and it's been happening in the ANC government at look on the other side. Let's talk about the Registrar of Deeds. The appointment of the Registrar of Deeds doesn't require him to be a conveyor, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yet, lawyers who appear before him must be conveyancers. For me, it doesn't make sense. And what it does, it just limits people's access to the deeds office. And as an executive in the Office of the Justice System, we have to make sure that every person has access into that office. Like, for instance, if you know how to calculate your VAT, you know how to calculate your income tax, they don't turn you away and say, bring a chartered accountant. But with that office specifically, it looks like we have looked on the other side, and we must get back to the history and see how this thing of conveyancing was put into legislation. It was because of the apartheid government, whom at the time they were establishing homeland system, and they wanted to block this homeland system from transferring land willy-nilly to anyone. So they used conveyancers to sift the kinds of transactions that they would not appreciate. So you will remember that before 1979, every lawyer
okay,
was...
Okay, Mandla, sorry, ngiyaxolisa kakhulu, with all due respect, we're having a conversation around COVID-19 and the effects of COVID-19 and how the courts are responding to that. So the issue around the deeds office... Do you have any question that is in relation to COVID-19?
No, I do understand you, and I really appreciate it. That's why I said if I can tweak his mind. But if you're saying not acceptable, it's fine. I'll leave.
Okay.
Aldrin, if I can just do a quick response. Unfortunately, Mandla, the deeds office falls under land affairs, so it's not under justice. So it's difficult for me to comment on somebody else's area. But I note your concerns. I'll raise them with my colleagues. I note your concerns. I think it's important for land to be because land is such an asset for it to be properly transferred, so that there's not confusion as to who owns it. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a lot of areas that need to be improved.
Okay, thank you so much, Mandla. You covered. Okay, Mukoni. Good morning.
Good morning, Alvin and Power 7 Deputy Minister. Yeah, man, I've got this issue that it's an interim protection order. And then the follow-up of it is that the perpetrator manhandled me, and then a case was opened and he was taken in. And after that, before the president announced about the lockdown, he was released. And then over the weekend, what happened is that I'm a visually disabled person. So my phone was on a charger, and then he managed to get hold of my SIM card, and then they tampered with the bargaining case number and so forth. So because I'm visually disabled, so I can't go back to the investigating officer to report and also to find out. So I want to know what can be the assistance from the deputy minister in order to intervene that this matter is dealt with, because I lost also very important information as a visually disabled person.
Sure.
Everything is gone.
So Mukoni, against who's the interim order?
I beg your pardon?
Against who's the interim protection order?
It's my nephew.
It's your nephew. And you guys live together?
Yes, we're in the same house with the mother. She's the firstborn of my younger sister.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, and we are together because of this lockdown.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this thing happened over the weekend because I'm on the other room and I've charged, put my phone on the charge, and suddenly on Sunday I discovered the SIM card has disappeared, and I inquired and nobody wanted to ask, and it was only us. So the information is lost. So sure. I don't know whether I lost the case or what's going on and so forth.
Okay, I'll get the Deputy Minister to respond to you quickly, but just one last one. In terms of the interim protection order, what does it say about your nephew and your interaction with your nephew?
We must keep a distance, that's what I know, and then we are not in communication, yes, and so forth. So because of I keep the distance, and even the social distancing, I acknowledge it. So as far as I could not go and you know, try to find out and force myself up into her to give me the SIM card. Even this one I'm using is just an alternative I'm using for the moment. But that one is my active number that is taken. So I don't know how to go about to report that this has also happened, because the people even were not helpful in that regard, because of since the lockdown, I had to tell the people, please lock the gate so that nobody comes in and so forth. But when it disappeared, I could not tell who was there because I'm visually disabled. So I don't know whether they are friends, but the crime suspect is him and the mother, because of this pending case. They're trying to squash it out, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, so I'm perplexed. I don't know what to do. And then I find that, you know, as a visually disabled person, I rely on people to come and help me. And they feel that they are interfering in a private matter and so forth.
Oh, Mgoni, your story sounds really heartbreaking. I'm sorry for your experience, man. But let me get the Deputy Minister to respond to you.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, look, the fact that he interfered with your phone or your SIM card won't make any difference to whatever legal processes you've started.
Yeah.
So you said he'd assaulted you, if there's an assault charge, criminal charge, that would remain. You would be able to trace the details from the police station.
Yeah.
With the interim protection order, if he's breaking it, then you need to go back to the court and report that. And make an affidavit. You obviously don't need to be able to prove it, because obviously in this situation he will say it wasn't. I'm sure he'll say it wasn't him that interfered with your phone. So it would be good if you can find ways of recording what he's doing, so you've got sort of some evidence on it. Definitely him interfering with the SIM card won't affect the case unless there was evidence on your phone. But you can get details from the police station or the court. Maybe one other thing to say, Aldrin, just generally, is that there's a specific provision. I mean, happens with these protection orders, either for domestic violence or harassment, as in this case, is that... The interim order gets granted, and then there's a return date when the parties must come back to court. There's a specific provision that if that return date is during the lockdown period, the order is automatically, the interim order is automatically extended until up to 1 month after the end of the lockdown. So you don't have to, if the return date, the date you are meant to go back to court, is before the end of the lockdown, you don't have to go to court. You can, after the lockdown, go to court and find out when the return date is now set to.
Okay, thank you so much for your call there, Mkhon.
Thank you very much.
Sure. And all the best. Keep safe. Deputy Minister, on that point that Mgoni raised, in terms of a protective order, in his situation and now during this lockdown as well, how do you enforce something like that?
Well, generally a protection order or domestic, whether it's for domestic violence, whether it's for against harassment, it is just a piece of paper. But if that order is broken, and you've got to submit an affidavit to the court giving evidence that it's been broken, then that person can be arrested and can be kept in custody, and they'd be charged also criminally with breaking the order. So that's the way it's meant to work. It's obviously a lot in a situation. It must be much worse with the lockdown, where everybody, I mean, he's living with his nephew. It's then much worse where they're all confined indoors the whole time. So it does make it a lot more difficult. It's not easy.
Yeah. Okay. Nina, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Eldrin and your guest. Look, I would like to know, given that effectively we actually knew about Corona at least by the end of January, I'm curious about why the legislation effectively was bulldozed, you know, overnight, the legislation concerning COVID. And has it been stipulated that it only governs for the period of the lockdown? Or how will one ensure that, in fact, you know, it's got that limited power? Because otherwise one's obviously handing over tremendous power under problematic circumstances. That's it. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for that. And Deputy Minister, that's actually part of a conversation that we were having yesterday as well, is concerns around the overreaching powers that the executive may have during this period.
Yeah, I've seen also quite a bit written about people saying, you know, executives don't like giving up powers. Obviously, this was, I mean, yes, COVID has been around since last year. That's why it's COVID-19. But the impact and the rapid initial spread in South Africa was something that needed to be dealt with very quickly, and other countries have done that. There are two sort of, well, there's a number of different laws. There's regulations that the Minister of Cooperative Governance, Minister Dlamini Zuma, issued in terms of the Disaster Management Act. And that is for the state of the disaster that was declared, but it also specifically then links to the lockdown. The directions that the Minister of Justice then issued are mainly with regard to the lockdown. And obviously, once the lockdown is over, there would have to be other directions relating to limiting, but not as limiting, access to activities taking place in the court during this period. I would, though, say that you know, one of the issues with, for example, access to the courts that is specified is for the media to come in. Even though we've put these restrictions, anyone can still approach the courts, and a judicial officer has the power to determine ultimately themselves whether a matter is urgent or not. So, yeah, it is good to be vigilant. I think South Africa's, you know, the government, the executive, is trying very hard to ensure that rights are not infringed unnecessarily.
Deputy Minister, can I ask you this particular question? So the Minister of Transport yesterday had a press briefing, and at that press briefing, quite evidently was that the rules and regulations were not being adhered to. Did he break the law?
Aldrin, you're not being fair. You can't expect me to comment on a he obviously let's say, for example, at the beginning of the week there were problems at the courts where large numbers of people were gathered outside the courts. Those people needed to be spoken to because they were not sure what was happening, whether they were needed in court, whether they weren't. Obviously, depending on the circumstances, an impromptu gathering like that, well, there's no gatherings meant to be allowed apart from funerals. You know, so it's difficult to judge without looking at the circumstances. He was trying to engage, I think, with taxi owners or taxi drivers. He did himself say, and I think I even heard you, I think it was you on commenting that he had made efforts to ensure that there was social distancing. So, yeah, I don't know why. I don't know if it's fair on he's working very hard.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's fair on him for this to become a big issue.
It's just that the messaging that's being sent out, and for people who are watching this, who are saying that you have an executive that has rules and regulations that must be adhered to, and that they have come up with as well, but they are not following them.
Sure. No, no, it's an important point, and the rules apply to everybody.
Yeah.
It just is, he was trying to explain issues to people that they needed clarity on.
Mm-hmm. But did he break the law, though?
Alden, as I said, I think you're unfair in terms of asking me about this.
Okay. Let's go back to the power line on 0619870000. Your tweets at Aldrin St. Pierre, hashtag Power Talk, and you can also tweet at PowerFM987. Bongani, good morning.
Morning, how are you, Andre?
Good, good man.
Good, thanks. It's Bongani here. I need assistance. I don't know how to go about. I've got a younger brother, like he's fully arrested on the 1st of September last year. He's behind bars. When you always go to court, like they keep postponing, I mean, his court case, he's inside now. So they even offer him like a bail. So, but the people who like are responsible for his case, like they say like they can like make it like possible if like we can offer them something. And unfortunately, we don't.
What do you mean
have,
by that?
By saying that like they want Chocho so that like they can like get him out, and but we know for sure that like he didn't commit what like they say they arrested for. So
okay,
I don't
so,
know
so who are these people?
Pardon?
Who are these people that you say are responsible for him?
The person also responsible for the case, and I'm scared to call them. To call their names.
Okay. Deputy Minister, not sure whether you'll be able to answer this, or otherwise we can get you to speak to him off air.
No, I think it's pretty straightforward.
Sure.
I mean, it would seem, or the allegation that's being made is that officials, I don't know, from correctional services or whoever are offering or wanting a bribe to have him released. He would only be able to be released by order of the court by a magistrate. Mm. So if that is who is allegedly making the bribe, then yes, I'd like to know more detail about that offline. Unfortunately, all cases are being remanded. I'm not sure where the case is. It would seem as though he was refused bail. All cases are being remanded over this period in absentia, mainly through audio remands where possible, but otherwise just in absentia with the accused not being there. So nothing's going to happen right now. But I can engage if the gentleman wants me to off air.
Okay, then. Thank you so much for that. Bongani, we'll share your details with the Deputy Minister and then he'll try to get a hold of you. Let's go to Wandile. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good.
I'm good. Well, I wanted to make a contribution to the topic that has been discussed this morning.
Mm.
Suggesting that there's overpopulation in prison. What is being said to suggest that there is no overpopulation is misleading.
Okay, why do you say that?
Well, that's the truth. I mean, they can tell you. You can do your own research.
Mm. But what do you base it on?
On the relatives that are in prison that I've seen.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, what do you want to say to the Deputy Minister?
No, I think they should consider other measures in terms of what with the population, and that the virus should not spread, which would create a pandemic to everybody that is in the entire prison population.
Mm.
Yes.
Wandile, can I ask you a question? And if you don't want to answer it, that's fine. Are you calling us from prison?
No.
You're not? Okay. And he dropped the line. Minister, Deputy Minister, not too sure whether you're
Aldrin,
able to
answer. Nobody's denying that the prisons are overcrowded. That's unfortunately a reality. What I was saying is that the remissions
reduce the population, so reduce the overcrowding quite a bit, or a bit. Yes, we're very concerned about COVID-19 getting into the facilities. That is why there aren't any visits. That's also why inmates are generally not being brought to court for fear of picking up the virus in that process.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, it's a concern if there's other ways of well, we've got a problem of crime in South Africa, and sending people to prison agreed is not necessarily the best way. But what are the alternatives? And we're having increasing demands for making for ensuring that there are longer sentences. So it's a difficult situation.
Yeah. Chaka, good morning. Chaka, good morning.
Good morning, Andre.
Sure.
Good morning, listeners, and good morning, Deputy Minister.
Morning.
Deputy Minister, mine is just two simple questions. I've been in and out court for the past 10 years for a traffic offence, which is tried at the regional court for 10 years, by the way. And for the past 2 years, I've been in and out court waiting for the judgment to come out, and it doesn't come out. And the date that I got was the 3rd of April, which is obviously being affected by this pandemic that is facing us. And my advocate has advised that the postponement that they agreed on will be on the 8th of May. Now, the question I've been asking my advocate is that there's a possibility that we'll get an extension of a lockdown, and that will mean I'll have to wait again. So, reading on the judgment of Public Protector Mkhwebane and the President, I realized that the judgment was passed and it was forwarded through the email to the affected parties. And my question was to my advocate, is it possible that you engage with the magistrate to forward you the judgment in writing, if this thing is going to affect us forever, because it's now emotionally draining me and financially so.
Okay, we'll get the Deputy Minister to respond to that. Mokwetla, just quickly, because we're running out of time. Good morning. Mokwetla?
Yes, Alden.
Sure. Just quickly go ahead. We're running out of time.
Yes, Alden. my Deputy Minister, morning.
Morning.
My question is, I've got a nephew there. He has been arrested in 2018 by the Naledi police for rape. He is in Johannesburg prison. He has been appearing in court every 2 months, Protea Magistrate Court. No trial is happening. All the witnesses are there. Everybody that the court needs is there. But every 2 months he appears in court, is like he's marking register. I was present at the court today. Nothing is happening, no trial.
Okay. I think, Deputy Minister, both these calls are around the wheels of justice and how we always say that they grind slowly.
Yeah, they do. And that is a problem. And we do need to look at ways of improving it. So, yes, it is a problem that matters are taking so long to come to trial. The rape matter would have to go to the regional court at least, but I'd very much like to see rape trials taking place quicker, and we are looking at ways of trying to deal with that.
Yeah.
And
I also know that even the Chief Justice has spoken on this particular matter.
Sure.
Okay, then, Deputy Minister, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate
Thanks
it.
For having me.
That is Deputy Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development, John Jeffrey.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.